I truly believe that if we all work together in every race, every creed, every color, that we could feed multitudes. It's just pulling together. That's what it takes. And the second thing I'd like to say is, I don't want anybody giving me anything for free or otherwise, unless it's my birthday.
That was Cookie Johnson, coordinator of the Marys River Gleaners in Corvallis, Oregon, talking about why she volunteers an average of 25 hours a week to help solve a major community problem, namely food insecurity for low-income people. The ideas embedded in those two quotes, teamwork, earning what you get, and giving to those who are in need and can't work, underlie everything Gleaners do. Season 2 of Local Folks Podcast is dedicated to telling their story. Hello, and welcome to Local Folks Podcast, Season 2, Episode 1. My name is Bob Madar, and now's probably a good time for me to introduce myself and talk a bit about why I started this podcast. I'm retired, and over the last couple of years, I've become more and more interested in how ordinary folks work to solve local problems and what they might teach the rest of us about helping other people in our communities. Season 1 focused on how hospice workers and volunteers help patients at the end of their lives and the families who love and care for them. Season 2 is devoted to learning how a committed group of local people is working to solve a serious community issue, namely food insecurity. About a year ago, a chance conversation with a friend who'd recently retired from directing Lynn Benton Food Share, an organization providing food assistance to low-income families in Lynn and Benton counties, convinced me that Season 2 of Local Folks should focus on the work of Gleaners and their efforts to provide food assistance to low-income people. To that end, I've spent the last 12 months or so learning about what these hard-working people do, and I think they have a lot to teach us about how to work together to solve local problems. I hope you will find what they do and how hard they work for other people as inspiring as I do. What is a local problem that Gleaners work so hard to solve? It's food insecurity. Defined by the USDA as a household-level condition of limited or uncertain access to adequate food. According to the 2013-2018 Benton County Community Health Improvement Plan, created by the Benton County Health Department for county commissioners, Oregon perennially ranks as one of the most food-insecure states in the country. Over 14%, or about 12,480, of Benton County residents live in households that meet the USDA's definition of being food insecure, and that represents 21.7% of Benton County's children. Two overarching goals were identified in the plan. One, improve access to fresh and healthy food, and two, improve utilization of food assistance programs, goals Gleaners work very hard to achieve. So who are these Gleaners? Let's listen to Quinn and Jessica, two students in Oregon State University's Human Development and Family Sciences program, who have just finished up an internship with Lynn Benton Food Share, focused on Gleaners.
I think that I would say that Gleaners are a group of low-income families who work very hard to not only make sure their family is fed, but to make sure that all of the families in their communities are fed. And they volunteer, they go out and pick from farms, and they show so much like strength and courage and determination through this organization that it makes it a really special place to be.
So I would agree with a lot with Quinn. It's basically just families trying to see their own family succeed and their neighbor's family succeed in terms of being happy and healthy and making sure that they have enough food on the table and they are able to, you know where their next meal is coming from and they don't have to worry about that. And it's also a lot of community service for themselves and for just their town and the farms around them. Because, I mean, how many farmers throw out tons and tons of food after their crop because they have so much excess? And that is an amazing organization for these families and groups and communities to come in and basically relieve the farmers of that pressure and then relieve themselves of that pressure and stress, because they know it's okay, I'm gonna have green beans with dinner tomorrow and things like that.
And what is it these gleaners do for their communities? Here's Ryan McCambridge, director of Lynn Benton Food Share here in Corvallis.
Over 7,000 individuals just in the two counties will be involved with gleaning in any given year. And those are families, individuals, elderly folks. Gleaning group membership does skew older than average, although that demographic is starting to change a little bit as gleaning groups try to do more recruiting out into the general population. Like a lot of things with food share, we have to make sure that we're reaching those populations that maybe didn't know about the services that are available to them. And so about 7,000 individuals will benefit from gleaning. They collect on their own between what is distributed through Lynn Benton Food Share and then also the groups going out to the people's backyards, grocery stores, bakeries everywhere. They'll collect about 2 million pounds every single year, just those 14 gleaning groups.
2 million pounds of food gathered by determined, hardworking people who help themselves and provide a needed service to their communities. Let's look a little deeper at the important work they do. It all starts with gathering food and firewood that would otherwise go to waste. That's the sound of gleaners repacking donated bulk food at the Lynn Benton Food Share warehouse. Once a month, gleaning group members gather at the warehouse to repack donated food, often frozen vegetables or other bulk foods, into family-sized portions for distribution. On this day, they worked hard for several hours repacking donated frozen lentils, and at the end of the day, they took their share of the product back to their communities for distribution. Gleaners also gather donated food from grocery stores and other businesses in their local communities. Here's Cookie Johnson, coordinator of the Marys River Gleaners, listing the sites she visits every week for donations.
I have Walmart, Trader Joe's. I was doing all three Safeways. Now I'm only doing two. I have Winco, Grocery Outlet, Grocery Depot, Oral Wheat, Costco, Einstein Bakeries, and whoever calls us. You know, whoever calls us. Sometimes one of the restaurants will call and say, hey, you know, we've got a lot of leftover soup and it's frozen. Would you like to have it? Sure. I bring it down, put it in the freezers, and we give it away.
And gleaners harvest food directly from farms and gardens. Here's a group of folks talking about how to organize a pepper glean at a U-Pick vegetable field.
The second row in is the only row of tomatoes we're doing today.
Okay.
We're doing the outside rows of the peppers, on both sets of peppers, all the way to the sunflowers where they stop.
Okay.
And then after that, we're doing the two rows on the outside.
Okay.
Of the
peppers. But there's a strip we leave all of them.
And he marked one strip from the jalapenos to this pile of rocks. These we leave alone.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
So you'll get to. I'll leave one of my pickers and you leave one of yours, and I can do the tomatoes.
You know, Trish is probably here by now. Yeah. She's our lieutenant, so I'll relay all the information to her. And
oh, I see.
Yeah, she just hadn't arrived yet.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, I only just joined.
But we're going to have to get busy right now because we got to be out of here.
And let's not forget wood.
What do we do? About 300 last year.
300 trees last year, and cords, a couple, 50, 75 cords.
Yeah, 75 just from right up here.
Yeah, just from up there, and then with everything else, probably 200 cords of wood.
That was Jim Templeton, coordinator of the South Benton County Gleaners, and Arlen from Alsea Valley Gleaners, estimating the number of cords of wood they've harvested this year. The engine running in the background is a hydraulic splitter members were using to split wood into quarter rounds so that it could be loaded onto pickup trucks and trailers to be hauled away and delivered.
Well, it's either that one or that one.
Once or twice each week, members meet at their sites to distribute what has been gathered. Volunteers arrive early to organize and display the food and other commodities, and then assist as the rest of the membership arrives to pick up their share.
In the office, please. Okay, we're going to start assigning stations now, guys.
So how important are these goods to the people who receive them?
If Gleaners didn't bring food here, I wouldn't eat. It's as simple as that. It really is. When my caregiver comes over, he prepares meals for me. He does my cooking for me. But he took a vacation at one point, and when he came back, I hadn't eaten the entire time he was gone. It's just, not everybody's like that. But I certainly left to my own devices, wouldn't be getting to the market. And what they bring in the bag is very comprehensive. It's not junk. Do you know what I mean? And I don't mean to say junk's not the word, or junk food. There's always protein, there's always meat, there's always vegetables, there's a lot of fresh vegetables and fresh fruit. It really is a huge, huge deal. I wouldn't have food in my thing to eat because being on disability, I'm on what they call a limited income. And after rent, utilities, and transportation, that's pretty much it. My food budget is small, to say the least of it. And I've gotten really good at being poor. Okay, I'm not whining. But without being subsidized and augmented by Gleaners, I don't know how I would get... I can't even afford dog food. I mean, in the old days, you would eat dog food for the last week of the month.
That was Molly, a Mary's River Gleaner adoptee who lives in subsidized housing here in Corvallis. Adoptees are group members who, due to physical disability or other limitations, are unable to participate in gleaning activities. Every week, volunteers deliver food and other needed commodities to Molly and other residents of her building. But if I've learned one thing about gleaning and gleaners over the last year or so, it's this. Gleaning is about a lot more than food and firewood.
It's more than just the food.
Well,
way more than just the food.
Yeah, that in some ways the food is the vehicle for the other outcomes that are probably way more important.
That's what I think. I mean, because we have wonderful food pantries and people who run the food pantries that are very caring and they really want to help. But, you know, you go in, you get your food, and you get to know them, and they leave. But with the Gleaners, it's like a community. It's like a family. And they support each other.
Oh, like I said, when I was sitting there with Cookie at their center, there were people that were getting a lot more than food that were there.
Yeah.
You know, they were getting support, emotional support, right. Empathy, friendship, all of those kinds of things.
It is. I mean, and that's true. And I think that is probably as important or more important than the food part, because they can access food pantries.
Mm-hmm.
They could if they wanted to. But the rest of it, not so much, not like this.
Exactly. That was Susan James, Gleaning and Volunteer Programs Coordinator for Lynn Benton Food Share. She provides essential technical assistance to Gleaners, and we will spend more time with her in subsequent episodes. Now, let's listen to Bill and Donna, two members of the Alsea Valley Gleaners, as they talk about why gleaning is so important to them.
Well, the thing of it is that what I like about it, it keeps you active and everything else, and to associate with other people, you know, that's a lot of fun, and we enjoy talking, and you know, it's really interesting. And we like going out and picking up and stuff. I like doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps us active and, you know, we work all of our lives anyhow. I just keep on working, you know. So we enjoy every bit of it. I really do.
It sure looks like you guys are having fun when I'm there.
Yeah. Yeah. And our group that we're in, Pam and Robert's, it's the best group that we've been in, you know. We really enjoy it. Huh?
What makes it the best group? What are the things?
Well, it's people's attitude and everything else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And how they react to you, and very friendly and everything, and everybody can talk and joke or whatever, you know.
It seemed like a welcoming place. That mm-hmm. was one of the things I noticed. Was just you were welcome there, and people knew each other.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
And it is. It's a lot of fun.
It's like a community.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Yeah. If somebody needs help, they don't have no income. They gotta have gas. You know, give them $5-$10. You know, and that's the way everybody there is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If they need money for whatever, you know, if you got it, you know.
It wasn't very long after I started spending time with Gleaners that I realized just how important the social support network provided by the group is to members. Dylan, a member of the Marys River Gleaners, put it this way. One of the things you mentioned earlier was that in some ways the gleaning organization was a great way to make connections in the community. Could you expand on that just a little bit?
From the get-go, when I started coming to Marys River Gleaners, the attitude that people have when they're here, you know, and it's a mixed bag, right? It's not perfect. It's not like everybody is warm, welcoming, and friendly. A lot of people are hungry. They're insecure. They have needs that they're trying to meet, and they're struggling with that. So you've got the mix of that, and then all these people as well that are now having their needs met, and they're incredibly grateful, and their attitude and their hearts are just lifted. So instead of being really depressed, this is where their soul gets fed, you know?
I wanted I'm really glad you touched on that, because I've been here now, this is my third time. Uh-huh. And one of the things that I've noticed is this is a safe place for people, in the sense that people are welcome here no matter who you are.
Yeah.
And valued here. Would that be...
Absolutely. Yeah, I've brought a lot of friends here that, that don't feel safe in the general public, that mm-hmm. that don't feel honored and cherished and protected as human beings, that have things that set them apart. And a lot of it's Cookie. I have to say, in a way, that she really, in a sense, guards this space.
Mm-hmm.
If there are people that are mean here, she is not shy about being mean right back to them. And in a way in which it's constructive. It's not like, hey, you're a jerk, so I'm going to be a jerk to you. It's real. It's like, hey, you don't get to treat people like that. Have a nice walk. You know? and that's that, you know. And it's from such a place of love that it's really hard to be insulted by it even, you know. I haven't been on the other end of that stick, but...
No. We will explore the work of Gleaners in greater detail in upcoming episodes and spend more time getting to know these hardworking people and how they came to be involved in gleaning. Also, we'll be exploring how the synergy between gleaning organizations and the technical assistance provided by Lynn Benton Foodshare might be a model of how to support community members as they work to solve community problems. As we learn more about Gleaners and the work they do, I'd like us to keep the following question in mind. What can the work of Gleaners tell us about how to effectively use local resources to address community problems? They've taught me quite a bit about how to answer this question, and I hope their story will do the same for you. In closing, here are three Marys River Gleaners, the coordinator, Cookie Johnston, and two members, Carl and Mohammed, as they get ready to begin picking up food and other commodities for distribution later in the week. Three people who come from very different ethnic and cultural backgrounds, who hold different religious and political views, and who treat each other with respect, regard, and affection as they work together to feed their community.
Carl's been with Gleaners since the 80s, or 70s. When did you start with Gleaners?
I think I started with 73.
So you've been gleaning for a long time.
You that gone right, I have.
No kidding.
There can't nobody outpick me in the garden, though.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, a while back, I went on a wood glean with some people, and those guys worked my tail in the ground. That was a good...
I used to go out in the cornfield, out pick them, and then I'd go out and get potatoes. I was out by myself.
By yourself?
Yeah.
So what brought you to gleaning? So you've been doing it for a long time. What was the thing that got you started?
Well, while you guys are talking, grab a container for me.
Oh, yeah. Actually, why don't we... I'll take care of that. Let's go ahead and get things weighed in, and then I'll keep my mouth shut.
Hey, Obama, you
ready? His name is Muhammad. He calls him Obama.
Obama.
That's just Carl.
Yeah, I was doing 6 days a week with them.
Wow.
Hauling, started off in my wife's
Move
car.
Over, Muhammad. I mean, Carl.
This guy wants to keep the president forever?
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't.
American people won't accept that. They want Muhammad, Obama forever.
Sit it up on the table there. Sit it up on the table.
Okay.
We'll be in there.
Okay. We'll just stack them right on top of each other. Keep them separate.
Thank you for listening, and I hope you will come back for episode 2, airing on July 1st, when we will spend more time with gleaners as they distribute what they have gathered to their membership. The music featured in these podcasts was composed, performed, and recorded by Nick Rivard, a local Corvallis musician and guitar teacher.
KBOO Portland.